What's the one thing holding your projects back from greatness? I have to be upfront with you and let you know that the secret in project management is not project management tools. But you're thinking, well, then what is it? Well, let me ask you this. If you could just master just one elite skill, how would that revolutionize your career? So I ask you, what's holding you back from being the project manager that we know you could be, that you should be, and you're capable of being? You mind if I share a quick story with you? You see, the first time that I realized that it was more about the people aspect of leading project versus the project management software aspect is when I went to an organization and they didn't have any project management software. I went in there and said, hey, could I see your Microsoft project so I can start building my schedule out? And, you know, I would like to use either Slack or Asana, you know, for two-way communication. And my manager looked at me, said, Edward, let me show you where all of that is located. So he walks me over. We walked back to my desk because I went over to see him. And we went in my cube. He said, you see that thing called Microsoft Office Suite? I was like, yeah. He said, that'll house everything that you need. And we both just fell out laughing because it made me realize that sometimes we can get so caught up in the project management software, which is important, but we forget about the ability or the reality is about leading project is connecting with people. Let me get into my 8-point framework and then I'll let you be on your way. First point, adopt a solution-oriented mindset. Family, if you've been paying attention, if you've been watching, if you've been attuned to what I've been delivering, you know that dwelling on problems can stall progress. So having the ability to be solution-oriented and quickly identify alternatives and turning setbacks, oh, I love this, into opportunities for improvement is going to be key. Here's an actionable tip. For every problem, require your team to propose at least one potential solution during discussions. Like I always said, when you're hired as a project manager, they are hiring you to think. What do I mean by that? That translates into don't go to your sponsor. Don't go to your PMO office. Don't go to your direct manager and say, hey, this is the problem. And then kind of, it's just like you're leaving something there and walking away. No, go there and say, hey, the team and I propose a couple solution or one solution. What are your thoughts around this? Is this something that we'll be able to move forward with? Or do you have any additional thoughts? Now I'm bringing them into the conversation. And now if they find something, a gap, or because they've been there for a while, they may suggest alternative solutions. Also, one of the biggest things that I see, especially when it comes to scope, when you're facing scope creep in a project, instead of, again, focusing on the delays, explore how you can reprioritize features and negotiate on phase rolled out. Point number two, be comfortable with ambiguity. You know, projects rarely have all the details, especially at the beginning. So having the ability to make decisions in a uncertain state of mind is going to be a key trait for a successful project manager. Wait before you get nervous. Let me explain. Here's an actionable step. Practice making decisions with 70% of the information. I'm not saying go in there with no information. I'm saying I put a number of 70% because I think that's a fair enough number, even 50%. And what this allows you to do is learn fast, fail fast, and redirect versus you're waiting and waiting and waiting, especially if you have a product or service which you are competing against another organization and you've been hired by the client. They would rather you fail fast and soon and find out what the issues are versus getting to 100%, say, okay, we fully got it. And this is what, and by that time, the market may have shift. And that's why I also talk about this is when launching new products, market conditions and customer needs may shift. Be flexible and acting on incomplete information keeps you definitely ahead. Point number three. Cultivate a proactive project team management. What I mean by that is managing project teams' expectation. Where do frustration comes from? Lack of expectation, especially after issues arise. you want to be, instead of being reactive, you want to be proactive. When you're proactive, it often leads to less conflict. I'm not going to say you're not going to have conflict, because you definitely will. But proactively addressing needs and concerns definitely builds the trust, as well as it brings the team together, which equals, in my opinion, a collaborative approach. Here's some actionable tips. Implement regular check-ins with key project team members to update them on the progress, even if no major milestones are reached. Early communication with project team members about potential roadblocks prevents misalignments when challenges emerge. Point number four, refine your communication strategies. Now, I will let you know that when you refine your communication strategies, it's going to set you apart. When you refine your communication strategy, it is going to require extra work that at moments you're going to be frustrated and say, why do I have to communicate with this team member on Teams or Slack or Asana when this other team member, I have to communicate email? You have to understand, this is about being an exceptional project manager. If you want to be average, then do that average thing. But I can, if you're listening to me, if you're paying attention, I know you don't want to be just average, because you wouldn't be here today. So because of that, different stakeholders have different information needs. So tailoring your communication style ensures that everyone receives the information they need in the format they can act on. Again, family, I will say this, I will preface this. You need something from them. They don't need anything from you. So, and you're the coach and you're the leader of that team. And if you're unable to deliver then and find out where they're at in the project or the task that they're working on, how can you communicate that up and down the ladder? Actionable steps. Create a communication plan that specifies the audience, frequency, and method of communication for each stakeholder group. Now, I also would recommend, family, is that when you have your communication plan in place, I would look at revisiting this maybe once a month or quarterly, just to see if there's any communication ways that need to be tailored based on since last time you met. And the reason why, there may be some changes within your stakeholder or your project teams that, yeah, they may wanted it via Teams. Plus, this holds them accountable of saying, well, hey, if they say, well, why are you not sending this to me through email? Well, you could say, well, I looked at the communication management plan and you told me that you wanted all communications or all correspondence sent through you through Teams with a follow-up via email. Point number five, think of risk management as a daily discipline. You know, I always smile when I see this, is because I was working with this project manager, new project manager, and we both had a laugh because he shadowed me for a minute and he was like, why every time when you have a meeting, the first agenda topic is about risk? And the reason why is because risk management is not a one-time activity. You don't go through a risk strategy and then you say, you just put that artifact away. No, it's continuously revisiting risk and their mitigation strategies to ensure you stay ahead of these emerging threats. So my actionable tip and what I shared with him was, hey, the reason why I do this is because first, I want to ensure that we're setting up, first of all, a weekly risk review meeting. And then secondly, I want to make sure I'm holding people accountable during our weekly meeting. Now, this gives me an opportunity to continuously touch the risk register and understand where we are with the particular risk. Point number six, embrace adaptability. Projects often face unexpected changes as well as challenges. Being an adaptable project manager, that one that can pivot quickly and adjust plans and resources to maintain progress towards project goals sets you apart, family. I don't know how many times that I've had to pivot. I don't know how many times I've had to adjust resources because a resource either got promoted, decided to leave, et cetera. So having that ability to be, to adjust is key. Here's an actionable tip. Develop a multi-scenario plan, like a what-if plan for major components, outlining potential changes as well as response strategies. And one of my biggest things that I know sometimes from these seasoned project managers I may get pushback on is the ability to build time buffers into the schedule. Why do I do that? Because over my decade of experience, I've noticed that, and this takes time. And when I say it takes time, because if I'm at a new organization, I have to learn the project team. And by learning them is giving them a task. And if they say, well, yeah, I'll have it back to you by next Friday, and next Friday shows up and they don't deliver it, they'll say, okay, I'll keep a mental note of that and then give them the next task. And then you start kind of seeing where the gaps are. And so when they tell you next Friday, then you say, okay, that probably means Monday or Tuesday of the following week. So it just it's just a practice. So I always do put a little buffer time in there, because it's better to come in under schedule than to be over schedule. Point number 7, lead through influence, not authority. This is something, when I first got into project management, I thought it was all about authority, but it's not. It's really about influence. You know, true leadership in project management comes from inspiring and influencing others, not just simply just giving directives. I always use the quote from John Maxwell when he said, everything rises and falls on the leadership. So you are in a leadership role, even though you have direct report, even though you have a project team that does not report to you. So this makes it even more that you have to be more influential with that team. And plus, family, being influential allows you to build credibility through expertise and relationships. Here's my actionable tip. Invest in time and relationship building. And one of the things, I'm being very transparent with you, family, because you know this is what I do here, is active listening. I am working on that. I'm continually to work on that. I'm really great with relationship building, but when it comes to active listening, I just want to go ahead and solve the problem instead of allowing someone to talk through, because sometimes people need to talk through things. And yeah, you may know the answer, but it makes them feel good to talk through it. And then you can listen to where they're coming from. And this allows you to gain trust from them, as well as you start gaining trust from them as well. So basically what I'm saying there, because that kind of sounded funny, but what I'm saying is it develops a trust between one another on the project goals. If you are uncomfortable about, or I shouldn't say what use the word uncomfortable, if you're someone that is really not good in relationship building, I would recommend putting on your calendar of meeting with your project team. So it would look like this. Let's say you have 5 people on your project team. I would set up a date on my calendar. So Monday, I'm going to meet with John. Tuesday, I'm going to meet with Sarah. Thursday, I'm going to meet with Ron. Wednesday, I'll meet with Ron. Thursday, I'll meet with Becky. And then Friday, I'll meet with whoever is the other person, Edward. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make, family, is that setting up like a 15-minute or even a 10-minute touch point just to say, hey, just want to check in with you. How are things going? Is there anything I can do to help you? How was the kids? I heard they were going to college, et cetera. Things like that, really quick check-ins to talk. First of all, I would lead with personal information, and then I'll close it off with business. All right, point number 8, create a culture of accountability. Clearly defining roles, responsibilities, and expectation. You know what I always talk about here, and I speak about so clearly, is reason why project team members as well as stakeholders get frustrated is because they have a blurred vision of what the expectations is. So being able to communicate those expectations clearly and often will foster ownership and accountability. When everyone knows how their work is contributing to the project, this increases the motivation. Actionable tip, I would recommend using a RACI matrix, which the acronym for RACI is responsible, accountable, consult, inform for each task. And most of all, maintain a focus on the outcome of what is expected. Don't get so caught up in the results. Here's an example. If I take a piece of paper and I throw it in the garbage can, and you take a piece of paper and walk it and put it in the garbage can, the outcome was us getting the piece of paper in the garbage can. The result is more or less about how we went about doing it to get to the outcome, if that makes any sense. Let me give you my 2 bonuses, and then I'll go ahead with my closing remark. First bonus, practice effective delegation. As a project manager, to be able to practice effective delegation, your role shifts from doing to leading. I got pushed back on that last year from for one of the family members was like, well, they need to pay me more if I'm doing it instead of leading. And it's like, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Have you ever read the fine print at the, within your job application or the job board where it says other duties may apply? And anyway, if you have an opportunity to help one of your fellow project team members, why wouldn't you jump in to help out? So effective delegation really does free you up to focus on high value activities while empowering your team. Here's some actionable tips. Identify tasks that others can handle and provide clear instructions while allowing autonomy in execution. Key sentence right here, or phrase or statement. Remember to trust, but definitely verify what the task they said that they're going to complete. Last and final bonus, master resource optimization. Effective resource optimization involves allocating and managing project resources. This can be people, time, money, and equipment in the most efficient way possible to achieve project objectives. Actionable tip, implement resource leveling techniques. Now you can use this in Microsoft Project, so you can basically balance workload across your team, which allows you to prevent burnout and maximize productivity. And my final actionable tip on that is really connect with your resources to see if you can identify any skill gaps that can really help your team to seek any additional training that's required. Here are my three closing remarks, family, and I appreciate your time today. First one, refine your communication strategy. Like I said before, different stakeholders, different project team members, you have to tailor your communication style that ensures that everyone receives the information they need in the format they can act on. Create a communication plan that specifies the audience, the frequency, and the method of communication for each stakeholder and project group. Point number two, embrace adaptability. Like I said, a project manager that is adaptable, that can pivot quickly, that can adjust their plans, that can and have the ability to keep their eye on the prize or translation, keep their eye on the actual end goal, is going to move further and faster than a project manager that can't. So I would recommend developing multi-scenario plans, sort of like a what-if plan for major project components, outlining potential changes and response strategies. And the one that I know seasoned project managers sometimes have issues with, and that is just incorporating buffer periods in your project schedules for any unexpected delays. And then my final and last point, adapt a solution-oriented mindset. Like I always state, family, don't go to your PMO office or to your sponsor or to your manager with just a problem. Provide a proposed solution, and hopefully you sit down with your team to work on that proposed solution that you can actually present. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.